Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 128 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Genoa, which finished 1-0 to the hosts with a goal from Lautaro Martinez in the 77th minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Off the rip here, thank you to everyone who reached out. Been a difficult few weeks for me, as everyone knows, but I do appreciate all the support from the community. You guys are really great. My fiance read the messages, and it definitely helped. So really appreciate everyone. And I'm happy to be back talking about Inter. It feels like it's been forever. What a weird season we're having, Johnny. After the results of today, Inter is by themselves in first place in Serie A. Is it 2 points ahead of Napoli now?
I think it's 1 point.
1 point ahead of Napoli, with a head-to-head clash coming up this weekend in Naples, where we can really create some distance here. It doesn't really feel like that, given the way this team has been playing and given the discourse around Inter. Like, you look at it, only Italian team left in the Champions League, first place in Serie A, have a clash coming up in the Coppa Italia this week against Lazio, still fighting on all fronts, things looking good from a results perspective, but it doesn't, you know, this season hasn't necessarily given that feeling. How do you feel now that we're finally back on top, alone in first place?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's undeserved, right? Everyone says Napoli's title to win. We probably shouldn't even be here. I don't even know why we're playing out the season. You know, two, three weeks ago, it was Napoli's title. So, I mean, it's a good thing the games matter, right? And it's not just one on Twitter. So,
right.
When did Nima say Napoli is securing the title?
Match day 36.
36.
Match day 36. Napoli's securing the title.
Well, look forward to their celebration. Should be a fun time for them.
Yeah, and, I mean, again, you know, like I said, I don't know why we're playing the games. It's already predetermined. Josep Martinez was supposed to have a Radu moment for us, so, you know, that's already been preordained or predestined, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so again, like, I don't know why we're playing out the games, right? You know, we don't have a chance in Champions League, according to some, and all this stuff, you know. Granted, it was an ugly display yesterday. Nothing really good from that. And, you know I even said it, that if we play like this against Feyenoord, we're probably going to get our butts kicked. But 3 points is 3 points. And yes, it was ugly, but sometimes if you want to be champions, you have to win ugly. It's easy to say in retrospect, because obviously in the moment, you know, you're reactionary. And I'll speak for myself. I won't say everybody is, but I know myself. I was not enjoying watching the game yesterday. It was a very, very tough watch for sure. Yeah.
I agree. I thought that first half was maybe the worst half we've played all year. There was no control on the game. It was brutal, and there was a little bit of panic for me at halftime, just thinking, like, you come out of the result last weekend against Juventus, we've essentially failed all the big tests this season, and then you're coming up a game against Genoa, which, to Genoa's credit, they're a very solid side. Vieira has them performing well. It was never going to be easy, but after that first 45, it's like, man, you know, even with what feels like it should be a comfortable draw in the Champions League, you just start to lose confidence. But somehow the guys found a way to pull it through. A goal from Lautaro Martinez in the 77th minute. He might have been our best player yesterday. There aren't a lot of standouts to speak about. I think Lautaro Barella had himself some spots. But the story all week coming into this game, Sommer fractures his hand. He's going to be out for at least a month. The discussion was that we wasted money on this 27-year-old Spanish goalkeeper out of Genoa. He gets his first start for Inter in Serie A, and I thought he was great. He, as far as his passing was concerned, definitely not a drop-off from Sommer. In pieces, could be better. Obviously, it's his first game, so I expect him, his communication with the team to get better. But that save on Ekator in the second half, like making himself as big as possible, just big balls in the moment. What did you make of Pep Martinez, the number one at Inter for the time being?
Listen, I was fully confident in him. You know, I don't know if you remember or if our listeners remember, but when we did our five-a-sides with Nima and Sharma, I picked him up as my goalkeeper for that team. His distribution was solid. He was a good shot stopper. And when you're at a club like Genoa and you're under siege that much, you have to be, you know, solid as a shot stopper. You can't just rely on your defense because, I mean, you pretty much don't have any. So to have him perform the way he did yesterday, like you said, come up with a big save, making himself big. He is a big goalkeeper. He's 6'3". You know, it's not like a, no offense to Sommer, who I love. This is not a knock, but he is a small goalkeeper. And there's times where shots are just out of range where if he had an extra 3 inches, he probably could make them, you know. So I think that's great. I did like a lot of his distribution. I thought that, you know, there was times where he was a little cavalier, I think, in his taking his time to you know, release the pass. But he's a professional. You know, when you have a level of confidence in yourself and your play, I think that you can, you know, be a little ballsy. He's not reckless like Onana was. There was times where Onana would scare you to death, but you know, I thought that he was very good, and I feel confident with him, you know, going up even in the match with Napoli. I don't feel like it's, I'm sure there is a certain level of drop-off and a certain level of comfortability with your defenders. You know, they know what to expect with Sommer. It may be a little bit different with Martinez, but I think we're in good hands. So
I think he's got about 6 games or so, possibly even more, with Sommer being out. If Inter is still in first at the end of this, if Inter is still in first place, progress in the Champions League, get through Lazio this weekend, this discussion about whether or not we should have spent the 12 million in the summer, do you think a stretch of games where he keeps Inter fighting for all the different competitions we're involved in, do you think that automatically off the bat, yeah, that's 12 million well spent? Keeping in mind the alternatives that we were looking at was like, do you spend 8 million to bring back Aldero?
I mean, to me, it's no question. You know, like, we question this management's ability at times to be proactive and to be making sure that they are ahead of the curve with certain, you know, players and stuff like that. You know, we complained so much, myself included, about not having a ready backup to replace Handanovic, that we waited too long with that. Now we pull the trigger early to prevent that issue. And imagine if we didn't. Imagine if we were stuck with Aldero or a guy like Padelli, you know, in the game like this. We saw the goals that Padelli was giving up and Aldero were giving up. Like, they weren't goals that you would want to see your goalkeeper giving up. So how do you feel now? Like, imagine if we did allow that equalizer. And now we're still, you know, we're 1 point behind Napoli as opposed to 1 point ahead of Napoli. You know, I think that you have to recognize that. And to get a goalkeeper of that quality at that price tag, sure, you can make the case that, you know, Di Gregorio was there and you probably could have done the same thing. But I'm sure Di Gregorio would not want it to have come back to Inter to be a backup. You know, he knew he was going to go be the starter at Juve. Josep Martinez was okay with it. And I think that's a good thing, because imagine if he was, you know, throwing a fit or having his agent leak reports to the, you know, the media, and next thing you know, like, oh, Martinez is on his way out because he's not satisfied with playing time, you know, then you'd be complaining about that too. So I am very happy that we spent that money. I feel a lot safer with Martinez back there as opposed to probably any other option that would have been available, you know. imagine a guy like Pep Reina being, you know, our backup, or someone, I don't know, I can't even think of someone truly horrible, but, you know, there could have been a lot more not ready, you know, goalkeepers in that position. And I think that we're very, very fortunate. And I feel, you know, that for the next month, we're going to be in good hands, guys.
Just because he's been on the bench this season does not mean he's a starting, that does not mean that he's not a starter level caliber player in this league, which I fully believe he is. Is there at all a possibility that he can perform to a level that once Sommer comes back could make you think like, hey, I'm not so sure that we should be throwing the veteran back in there? Or do you think this is like, you know, it's Sommer's job. He's earned it. When he comes back from injury, we're sliding him right back in there. I can't imagine a scenario where Inzaghi wouldn't go back to Sommer. Yeah. But do you think it's possible that there anything that Joseph can do to earn that job?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I think there's something he can do to lose that job. You know, like that could really put him in like, ooh, all right, we probably have to go shopping for a goalkeeper next time. Like, and I think that's an unfair thing for him. He's kind of in a lose-lose. If he performs well, you know it's going back to Sommer no matter what he does. And if he does bad, you know it's never going back to him. So it's a difficult situation. And that's the thing, too, with goalkeeping, right? Like, you're remembered more for your mistakes than you are your big saves. And that could easily be, you know, something that could happen. I hope that, you know, maybe the Club World Cup is where he gets his chance to really take over and become the starter for next season. I don't see him cementing himself as the number one. I think that, again, this is just speculation, but I do think that this has kind of been pre-discussed between Sommer, Martinez, management, that this is, you know, Sommer season. And it probably will be his last as the starter, potentially. And then I think next year is when Joseph Martinez would take over. And then Sommer would, you know, become the backup in his probably his final season at Inter, because he does have a contract through 2026. So, I mean, as long as he doesn't blow it and, you know, cost us a game or, you know, have a Radu moment, which it's so funny because there were so many people who were almost rooting for that, which is mind-boggling to me.
It's agenda driven. It's because they attach themselves to it was a waste of money. And once you attach yourself to that agenda, you're rooting for Inter players to fail, which I think is the stupidest thing.
It's insane. Like, you want your club to fail so that you could be proven right. I've said it a million times. It doesn't matter. I would much rather be proven wrong 100% and be made to look like an idiot. And I have to come on here and say, you know what? Hands up. I was wrong about Dumfries, or I was wrong about Acerbi, you know, like whoever it is. I would much rather be proven wrong than be proven right. And if you really want Joseph Martinez to fail, just so your agenda can be pushed forward, you could say, see, just another Radu, wasted 12 million. And the thing that makes me, like, what player were you going to buy for 12 million? Really, what player were you going to go out and buy? What center back was available for 12 million euros? Besides, you know, Yeah, besides Cabal, who went to Juve. Who was out there? Everyone says, like, got names, they got this, they got that. Oh, what about this guy? What about that guy? When were we going to get him for 12 million? Lloyd Kelly just now, who we see is ass for Juve, was 20 million plus. And you want to just go out and find some gem in what, the favelas in Brazil for 12 million? Like, let's be realistic, please. We got ourselves a ready-made starting caliber goalkeeper who already has proven he can be a starter in Serie A for 12 million.
Yeah.
You weren't gonna find a striker. You weren't gonna find a midfielder. Like, even Sučić is 14 plus, like, bonuses.
Yep.
So yeah, you could have used that 12 million towards someone else, but you still would have had to cough up more money. Like, I don't get the hate. I don't.
It's also like you have to do a very convenient mental leap to try to tell yourself, like, it's 12 million. as a backup for this season, it's disingenuous because he could be the goalkeeper at Inter for the next 5 years. Like, that's not, 12 million could be the biggest bargain of bargains, depending on what this looks like in several years from now. And I think, you know, it doesn't help that the Donnarumma rumors come up, because then it does feel like, oh, this is a little bit of a waste. Even though, if Joseph is the backup, having a competent backup, I know 12 million euros for a club of our stature, a club of our financial situation, feels like a lot. But like, everyone's heart sank when they saw the Sommer news. But you're not, there's no backup in Serie A that's as good as Joseph Martinez. He's quite literally the best backup in Serie A, because he is a starting level player.
Like Empoli, Lecce, Hellas Verona, I mean, I'm sure even Genoa, all these clubs would love to have him right now. They would absolutely love, I'm sure even Bologna.
Over he Skorupska. Would start at Roma. He would start over yep. Svilar. He would yep. start over Provedel. I mean, Provedel's had a horrendous season.
He just got benched. Would love to have, yeah. He just got benched. Like, Mandas is now the starter. Like,
and those are teams fighting for European places.
Yeah. Like, it's insane. It's insane that you'd be rooting for. And listen, the Donnarumma rumors to me are a little crazy. I don't think that we'd be willing to pay the wages, especially with Oak Tree's, you know, model. Now, granted, he is young. He's younger than Joseph Martinez. I think 2 years younger, or a year younger, whatever. I personally don't foresee it happening. Like, I just, even if you do get Donnarumma, I don't know. I just don't see it, unfortunately. And given the way we play, I don't think that his ability on the ball doesn't suit us. It really doesn't. Like, as a shot stopper, yeah, I won't argue that, you know, Martinez is better. Grant, that doesn't mean he can't be, but right now you can't make a case for that. But to just, I don't know, think that, oh, that's it, Donnarumma's coming in when his contract's up in what, 2026?
Yeah.
So what, we're gonna wait a year? Or something? Like, I don't see it personally.
He's also, unfortunately for him, because he's an incredible goalkeeper, he's kind of been known more for his fuck ups recently than, you know, his amazing goalkeeper play. It feels like he's got a howler in his game, which it doesn't. Listen, from having the Italian number one on your team perspective, that would be awesome. He's obviously has a ton of international experience, you know, won a Euros. Like, that would be awesome, but I don't know that I'm jumping out of my seats to sign up for what would be the highest wages in Serie A at the goalkeeper position, understanding what our financial situation is.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. As far as this game is concerned, so we talked about that shitty first half. I thought the second half looked a little bit better, although it still lacked in terms of the quality of chances. What is your one big, this is the reason why yesterday didn't look as crisp as we were hoping it to look like? There's a lot of things that we could point to. Aslani at the base of the midfield. I'm not saying that he had a bad performance. We're saying reasons why. Aslani at the base of midfield, Correa, you know, in attack, DiMarco's continued lack of form, Taremi coming in and not necessarily being super impressive, or Genoa being just a good team. What is the number one thing for you when the game is over? You're happy about the 3 points, but you're like, okay, this is why things didn't look that great.
Yeah, I just, to me, it's two things that really stood out to me. One is DiMarco's just fallen off a cliff since January. Like, it's, don't even recognize the player. I was actually screaming for Zalewski to come in, because the last, two appearances that he's made, immediate impact, immediate difference when he's on the flank. Yes, he does lack defensively. And maybe that's why he wasn't brought on, because you normally see him and Carlos Augusto brought on at the same time, because Augusto can make up for the defensive shortcomings in his game. But DeMarco, I mean, I don't know. Bad crosses the entire first half. Second half just seems slow. He doesn't seem to even react and go on runs as quickly as he did, you know, even in the earlier parts of the season. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, if it's a lingering issue thing that we don't know anything about and only management does. But yeah, he seems like a shell of himself. And Aslani being absolutely useless. The kid offers nothing. Poor decision making, poor defensive awareness. Like, I believe it was the second half, where a ball gets played, he allows his man to slip in behind him. And if it wasn't for a miracle of Acerbi somehow being able to run down, I forget who it was now, if it was, I'm not even going to guess, but he was able to run him down and make an incredible block to prevent a shot on goal at the very least. If, you know, who knows if it would have been a goal, but it
was definitely going to be in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely going to be on target. And I thought there was no chance even Acerbi would be able to run him down. I thought he was going to be cleaning on goal. So hats off to Acerbi, who I thought had a pretty horrid first half. And then in the second half was awesome. It's like he grew into the game. Which you normally would think of a player of his age would fade in a game. So hats off to him to being able to figure it out and be probably the man of the match, to be quite honest. You can make it a big case for him. With his performance just alone in the second half. So Aslani was misplaying passes. I mean, just, I don't understand how you don't have a grasp of the position yet. You've been working with this team for 3 years now. You've been an understudy to Hakan. And things got better as soon as, and Mkhitaryan came off for Zielinski and Hakan.
Yep.
Completely different team. I hope, that this shows Inzaghi that for the Napoli game, it has to be that midfield three. You know, Zielinski, Hakan, and Barella gives you your best chance, especially given the lack of bite we have up front. You have guys who can shoot from range. Granted, none of them have really done that at all this season, but the threat is there. And, you know, I mean, maybe you preserved Zalewski because you may want to, you know, play him big minutes in the second half or something. I don't know. But I hope, you know, we saw how Mkhitaryan just seemed like he was another guy who was just kind of running around with his head cut off.
Horrible performance.
I didn't get what he was doing. You know, there was times where he would dribble himself into danger and then be stripped of the ball and then a counter starts and it's just... I don't get it. I get that he did some good for the club and he's had some big moments, but I think that now you're seeing again, you know, his age has caught up to him and that he just doesn't have the impact that you need from a Metsala, especially in this system. And I hope that Inzaghi took notice.
So talked about a bunch of players here. So first, DeMarco. 0 for 9 on crosses. Did not connect on a single one.
0 for 9.
Which is not good. I agree that he's processing like 1 second slower than what he was at the beginning of the season. I don't know how you can experience such a significant drop off from just one part of the season to the next part of the season. But he's going through it right now. He's been a big part of this team's success. So it's like you're rooting for him and supporting him 100%, but we are not going to be able to get the targets that we're aiming for with him being on this patch of form. Like he needs to turn it around as soon as possible. And I'm hoping he can do that. I don't have any reason for why he wouldn't be able to turn it around. I don't I can't say he's like completely exhausted, because I feel like we've seen a lot of Carlos Augusto and Zalewski, like a lot. Those players have been playing a lot. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with him, but he needs to kick it into gear. Aslani, I thought, had two good passes all game. First half, the ball over the top to Barella. And then the ball to the back post for Acerbi when he headed it across. And then Pavard had the bicycle kick. And that was it. Outside of that, I didn't think that he offered much. For me, he's got to be out the door this summer along with Fratesi, like without question. I think his Inter career needs to be over, and we need to refresh that midfield. A lot of reports coming out this week of like the great revolution that Inter is going after this summer. It would be amazing if we can do that, because I think the squad needs a rejuvenation. I also think it was really, really obvious that the best midfield at Inter is Zielinski, Barella, and Hakan, when the three of those players are on the pitch together. Miki had a bad game yesterday. Some people are very, very pro Miki, which is fine. I don't know how you can watch him sometimes and not feel like he's absolutely on the latter half of his good years. You can say the same about Zielinski, but the level of threat that exists with Zielinski on the field versus with Mkhitaryan is like tenfold. There's no like magic thing. What was the midfield three when Inter scored their goal? Granted, it came off a set piece, but it was Zielinski, Barada, and Hakan. The fact that Zielinski also is able to interchange with Hakan as far as the regista is concerned is also, you know, an interesting tactical, you know, switch that you could throw in there, little nuance that you could take advantage of. But ultimately for me, why did yesterday look like yesterday? It's a mentality thing. I don't think you were hoping that after the Derby d'Italia loss that the mental would have switched as far as this game is concerned. But that first half was categorized by losing out on a lot of second balls. And this team shouldn't be losing out on a lot of second balls. So for me, it's like, it's a hunger issue. That hopefully now that we're back at the top of the table, it will turn around. But I don't know that you can confidently say that us being on top of the table means that we're more hungry. I don't know. Do you think that the 7 days rest actually hurt us a little bit? Is there anything to be said for like a disruption in the rhythm of going from playing every 3 days to playing once every seven?
Possibly, but I don't think so. I think it's just it's something I was talking about yesterday with a couple of friends, and you know, they were sharing their personal opinions of things going on at their club. I was talking about Inter, and you know, they were saying, oh, like, because I tweeted something about, you know, like me flirting with Diego Simeone this summer, and it's not that I don't like Inzaghi. That's not the case at all. I just wonder if the message isn't having the same reception in the dressing room. Listen, this is not, there's no evidence, nothing has been leaked that they are unhappy or that they're bored or that they just are tired of nothing. But I'm just speculating. And I just wonder, that's all. I wonder if it's just falling on deaf ears, and it, like, there was no energy yesterday. It was so flat, no bite, no sense of urgency, you know, to come out and win this game quickly and, you know, hopefully either maintain pace with Napoli or have an opportunity to jump in front. Now, you saw the reaction after the goal where it was, you know, Lauti just going crazy himself. And I don't know if that was out of frustration or out of like a sense of relief or what, but
He needed to get that off his chest.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he did. And I mean, I'm happy for him, of course. But, you know, I just wonder. That's all. I mean, I wouldn't want Inzaghi to go. I would rather, you know, have some players leave and give him a refresh. Because I feel like that is what's most important. But also, being realistic, what's easier to replace? You know, 5 or 6 players in your squad or a manager? That's the only reason I put that out, really, about Simeone. I think it's easier to bring in a new man. Now, I don't think we could afford Simeone, but,
I don't think any manager is squeezing. You know, the interesting thing is, like, I put this in the group chat. The two softest players at Inter, Joaquin Correa and Aslani, were on the field from the start. And that was arguably the softest performance of Inter season so far in that first half. So it's like there is a little bit of how much can you squeeze out of players who are just like even Taremi. Taremi's like he's a soft guy. You know, Correa is soft and Aslani is the same thing. It's like I don't know. there's a lack of killers. There's a lack of killers in the squad right now, it feels like, at least as far as the depth is concerned.
You're bringing in 3 new players. You have, let's say, 100 million to spend. Who are the 3 players you're going after?
Okay. A rejuvenation in attack is
Suchic's already in. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
So don't worry about having to include him, but go ahead.
Okay. Keep it as realistic as possible. A rejuvenation in attack is the first thing that I'd start with. I've been a big Sesko fan for a long time. I just think as far as technique, pace, power, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, I think we need more pace and power in this team. And Sesko is like prototypical from a physique and technique perspective, as good as it gets. I know he's still raw and still has some growing to do, but I would love to bring that player into the squad.
So let's say right there, 65, 70 million. Mm-hmm. So now you have about, let's say, I'll go low. Let's say you have 35 million left to spend now.
Okay. Got to go to center back. I would probably go with a lower cost option, but a player that I believe in and a lot that I will stick to my agenda that I've had for 2 years now. Omar Solet from Udinese. I would stick him back there. Again, like, let's talk about physique, big physical presence, a little toughness back there. Would stick him back there, although my dream would be Alessandro Buongiorno in Inter colors. But we're keeping it realistic. And then I would revitalize the wingback position again with pace and power. There's a player from Lille that I really, really like, Thiago Santos, that is like a speed demon with excellent technique. So those would be my 3. If you're bringing in Solet, Thiago Santos, and Sesko, you just brought in a lot more physicality and a lot more pace and a lot more technique into the side. So off the top of my head, that's what I do. What about you?
What about me? So for me, I'm probably going a little bit cheaper with the striker. You know, I would have probably gone with Lorenzo Luca as the guy I would have targeted.
Had himself given, a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, given the way he handled that whole situation. And I've seen mixed, you know, opinions. Some people liked it. They want a selfish striker. I do too, but I want them to be selfish in front of goal. I don't want them to ignore the instructions of a manager and then ignore, your teammates and disrespect your captain at the same time, who is the designated penalty. I think that's not a good sign, and that could, you know, it could be a lack of maturity, but it also could be a sign of things to come, and I wouldn't want to deal with that.
Just so, really quickly before you continue on that, like on the Luka incident, how do you not realize, like as a player, that you're in a situation that's very public? Like everyone is seeing your teammates having that reaction to you. Like nothing clicks in your mind of like, this is a bad look. This doesn't look good.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like how do you think that's going to play? And then to be subbed off and to have that look on your face, like almost like you didn't care.
Right.
That bothers me a lot. Part of me, like, so I was excited that he scored. I didn't see this incident. I just got the notification that he scored on my phone. I went into name drop here, Antonio Nocerino's, you know, office. They had it on. And I was like, oh, I saw my boy Lorenzo Luka scored. And he goes, you know, your boy, do you know what happened? And he told me. And
what did he think about that as a manager?
He said he would have done the same thing. He would have pulled him out.
Yeah.
He said,
I think any manager with balls would do that.
Yeah, he said no one player is bigger than the club. And to ignore direct orders, you know, if you already know before the game, you know who's going to be wearing the armband. You know who's taking the free kicks, the corners, all that stuff. To ignore the instructions, he's like, I don't care who you are. He's like, I would have taken him off. So, and I loved hearing him talk. He shared a bunch of stories with me. He actually threw me on his Instagram story, which was pretty sick because I was wearing a Palermo kit at work.
I gotta follow him now.
You have to. You have to. He's an amazing person. But it just bothered me. So I would probably go with Castro from Bologna would be the person I would bring up front. I feel like if you have Lautaro and Thuram, you know that they're the one and two, right? So as much as I love Cesco, I think you would have to sell one of those two in order for him to want to come. I don't think he's going to want to come to be a third option. Even if you do rotate every other game and, like, you know, it's like, you know, Lauti Thuram, Lauti Cesco, Cesco Thuram, you know, going every other game or whatever that is.
Cesco Thuram, just the sound of that.
I mean, it does sound great, right? I think that they would play very well together.
Yeah.
But I if he's willing to come, I'm 100% on board. I just, you know, I don't know. I'd be interested to see or even hear. I think you definitely need a legitimate backup to Hakan. So I would throw $35 million at someone at Ricci.
It's a good shout.
It's either going to be him or Rovella as the, you know, regista for the national team, right? So you're in good hands with him. As much as I love Rovella and I probably would prefer him, I don't think that we'd be able to get him. We know what it's like to negotiate with Lotito. I mean, we also know what Urbano Cairo is, but the rumor is $35 million gets it done. And I think that that's more than fair for Ricci. And then the center back one. Solet is a great shout. I liked him at Salzburg. I liked him even now at Udinese, which I think there's a statistic that since he's been the starter, Udinese hasn't given up a single goal. I don't know if that's true.
He's on a heater.
It's something crazy like that. I thought I saw that somewhere. Maybe I'm making it up. Or it could be every game he started, they haven't given up a goal. Not that they've... I don't know. Whatever. That's a great shout. And then there's another one that really interested me, and our good friend Tony Mitch also mentioned it, which I think is a good shout. Now, granted, I've only seen him play maybe 5 or 6 times about that. And it's only been in the Champions League that I've seen him play, but it's Ryan Flamingo over at PSV. He is great on the ball. He's got pace. Clearly can find his way onto the end of a ball on goal.
Super. And how, still like 20,
20
years old.
22 so. Years old. I mean, I think you can get him for 20, 25 million, maybe. I mean, I know I don't go off a transfer market because they value him at 16, but like, what does the club value him at? You know what I'm saying? Like, And I would say 25 million would probably be where they would land on, maybe 30.
And you can get the inside scout report from Perisic. Just hit him up and see what he thinks.
Didn't even think about that angle, but yeah, you can absolutely do that. So yeah, I mean, that could be, you know, somebody else who could be of interest. I mean, let's say you do that. You got 35. I don't know what Castro would come out. 25, 30. You know, 30. Let's say, all right, so 30, 35. You're at 65, 25. You're at 90 million right there. So realistic, I don't know. I mean, obviously, there'd have to be guys out the door. The likely candidates are Fratesi and Aslani. I would hope that you could find a way to include Aslani in the Ricci negotiations somehow. Don't know. I saw that they're interested in Pio Esposito, who, call me crazy, but I kind of want him to stay and be the fourth option maybe next year. I could also see him being loaned out to a Serie A club, though, to get meaningful minutes. So I don't know.
I wouldn't want to lose him for Ricci.
Yeah, I would loan him for a year.
Yeah, I would do like a Fabian deal, like where you have him, but we retain a purchase option.
No, see, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to, like, I'd rather you could have him for a year. He's yours, you know, dry loan and whatever percentage off for Ricci. And that's what we do. But you can't own him. I don't want a buyback option.
He would do well at Torino too, because Fanoli is a Conte disciple. So as far as like mentality is concerned, he would be a guy that I'd want coaching him up.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot. I mean, a lot of the players that we're being linked to would be huge for the club. Like we didn't even mention Nico Paz. The guy who had the assist for Hassan Diao early this morning to put Napoli away. That's a game-changing player, right? So there's a lot of different ways that we could rejuvenate the squad. But I think all this conversation, it just comes back to the fact that we've got some players who we need to have depth on the team, and they are not reaching the same level of intensity, talent, personality that the starters are in players like Aslani, Correa, Taremi, and so forth. So yeah, a squad rejuvenation is definitely necessary. Are there any other players that you want to talk about from the game? We talked a little bit about obviously Mickey DiMarco, Aslani, Correa. Anything specific you want to mention about Acerbi or Lautaro or the like?
Not so much them. Maybe I would mention, you know, Pavard. I thought that he had a pretty solid game himself. Made a couple of errant passes, but I think he recovered well, you know, was sound defensively, you know, had a good job of cutting down angles to not allow his attacker to be able to dribble past him, which I think is, you know, huge, especially from a right back. Our right center back, you know, position, because then you have to, you know, contend with him attacking Acerbi on his weak side from that side, you know, coming from there. So I think that when you are able to alleviate that chance for them, that's huge. And I you know, he had a couple couple chances to score.
He needs a goal. He needs a goal.
He
so
needs
bad.
A goal. Not even
he's
for
been robbed.
So many times, you know, the bicycle would have been insane for him. The shot from outside the box, even though it was deflected, it obviously would have been on target. Don't know if it would have beat, you know, the keeper from there, but, you know, it would have been amazing to see him get one. And I think that would just take such a monkey off his back, you know, and I think finally feel like he's contributing. Not that he doesn't think he is, but, like, you know, like he'll be like, okay, now, like, I've done something to help us win or whatever.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know that there's a ton to talk about a ton of takeaways to have from this game that are super positive. I think the positive thing that we can take away is this team is in first place after 26 match days, which given the discourse, like, it doesn't feel like it should be the case, but it is. And we're still fighting. So there's two things. We're about 45 minutes in here, the last 15 minutes or so. There's two things that I definitely want to touch on before we get out of here. So the first is Lazio coming up on Tuesday. The Coppa Italia, I'm seeing a lot of people like just rotate the hell out of it, like have everyone ready to go for Napoli, just throw it away. There's a part of me that is on board with that. There's also another part of me that's like, okay, first in the league, in a side of the bracket that allows you to dream about making it to the final in the Champions League. Like, do we want to throw away potentially a shot at a treble? You know, that's just my ultimate fan inside of me. But, oh, the other thing too is like, do I want another shot at redemption against Milan this year? Kind of. Like, I kind of, you know, would not like to end the season without getting a single victory over Milan. So there's a part of me that wants to take that game seriously, but where mm-hmm. are you? What side mm-hmm. of the fence are you on with this?
I want to see 14 teenagers on the team. That's it. I don't care. You could start Tobolovic. You could start everybody. Bring all the kids up. This game means nothing to me. I don't want to risk anyone getting hurt. The next game could be title deciding. Do you understand if we win that game? That's it. Conte has a meltdown. Napoli plummets, and we could cruise the rest of the way and then focus on the Champions League. If we take Lazio seriously, and God forbid Barella, Bastoni, Lautaro pick up a knock, and then you go into Napoli, unsure still if Thuram will be ready, and you have to start Arnautović Taremi in that game, do you understand how terrible that would be? No, there's no shot I'm risking anybody. The only person who started on Saturday that's playing is Josep Martinez. That's it. Everybody else, heavy rotation. I don't care. You could start Carlos Augusto, Bisek, a kid. You could start Fratesi Aslani in that game. I don't care. And then Topalovic could be the third midfielder, which would be actually pretty cool to see.
We need to see him. Nine goals in his first Primavera season.
Zalewski, I'd rather see in the left side. Darmian on the right. And then you start Taremi and Arnautović up top because, you know, Correa's already hurt. Probably done for the year already.
His inter-career is over in my eyes. I'm done.
It is over. So, I mean, that's it. That's it. That was your last appearance. I can't believe that's all you did. I mean, I can, but I can't. You know, like,
I feel bad he left the field in tears, but...
Yep. And but it's probably the best the best start to an Inter career since Pazzini, but
flamed out pretty hard,
real quick. That was gone so fast.
So it's, you want it to look like J-Mart, Bisek, De Vrij, Augusto,
no,
Zalewski.
I don't even want De Vrij, like De Vrij. This is one thing that has bothered me about Inzaghi. De Vrij has played probably like the best defender in Serie A, and you cast him to the bench behind Acerbi as if he did nothing for you. It bothers me so much. And I'm not saying that Acerbi's played bad or anything. I mean, he's had bad moments, but he hasn't played bad. I mean, he had a great recovery in the second half just this weekend or yesterday. But I just don't. I think that's so unfair. And if you start him in the Lazio game, you're kind of, I don't know. To me, it just feels disrespectful, in my opinion. I would love to hear if people agree, disagree. But I would never want him to feel like he's just a second choice when I think that he should be the starter.
I don't want there to be any scenario where Inzaghi goes to bat for keeping Acerbi instead of De Vrij for next season.
Yeah, please God, no.
He's glass.
You can't keep a 37-year-old. You just can't.
No.
Unless it's Edin Dzeko. But other than that.
He's a quality player, but
yeah. No. It has nothing to do with quality or what I think that they are offering. It has everything to do with health. Plain and simple.
Yeah, De Pieri and Topalovic, would love to see the two of them. De Pieri, another kid that's on fire in the Primavera. Yep. Can't stop scoring. And Topalovic has got a banger in his locker. Like,
bro, that guy is a midfield to him, Sucic, and Lichi maybe one day, like as your starting three, if you want to give Barella a rest. Could be special.
I wonder if clubs are going to come in for Topalovic this summer and be interested in him.
25 million if you want him.
I don't know that he's ready for like a full season in Serie A, but...
I think he's ready for a full season in Serie A. If you loan him to one of these clubs that gets promoted, I'm trying to think.
Sassuolo?
Not Sassuolo, but...
Grosso is he's a decent.
I don't know. Maybe Pisa or Spezia.
Spezia you can play just with for the Esposito brother.
That's just for the vibes. Spezia is gorgeous.
Yeah. Okay. So you're ready to. You're okay to say goodbye to the Coppa Italia. I wouldn't hate it.
A treble would be great, but we just don't have the depth really to focus on three competitions. We don't. We see the drop off in quality when we go from our A team to our B team. If it was like the team that won the treble, where we had that level of depth, where you can call on a Mario Balotelli in his prime off the bench to be your starting striker for that game, and you have guys like Goran Pandev and Ivan Cordoba, and you know, I'm trying to think who else, you know, you were starting Lucio and Samuel. Who else was a center? Whatever. You know, like, you just don't have that. You don't have that now. When Fratesi and Aslani are your midfield depth, the drop-off is extremely noticeable. You know, Zielinski's the only quality guy on the bench, and he shouldn't be on the bench. You know, like, it's just crazy. And the strikers, I don't know. It's just not there. You can't focus on three competitions, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Okay. In the Champions League, we have drawn Feyenoord, who knocked out Milan. Good side. Have some really young, interesting players. Obviously, Paixão, we saw his quality against Milan. They have a player, Milambo, in the midfield. I'm forgetting the other winger's name. Moose Haja, I think, is his name. He looks pretty good. Quinton Timber. I mean, they have a collection of young, talented players. But under no circumstances should we either be looking past this team or not be 110% like we need to progress here. And then looking at, you know, your potential opponents, Bayern and Bayer Leverkusen are going to battle it out. Would love to get another shot against Leverkusen. I think we could match up well against Bayern as well. So basically, my question for you is, you know, at the culmination of this bracket, once it was all decided, what was your initial feel on Inter's chances to get back to a final?
If we play the way we played against Man City and Arsenal, we can be in the finals again. There's no doubt in my mind. If we play the way we played against Genoa, we could be out against Feyenoord. It just depends on who shows up on the day. I think in terms of quality, we have it. If our starting 11 plays to the best of its abilities, I don't think there's a team in Europe that could really beat us. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a fan of Inter. I think that, like, on their day, at their best, I don't think anybody could really stand toe to toe. This isn't the same Real Madrid from.
So let's do it right now. This is the bracket on our side. Benfica, on our day.
Easy slap. We slapped them.
Barcelona.
Slapped them.
Dortmund.
Slapped them.
Lille.
Slapped them.
Bayern.
If Celtic can play them that hard, I think that we could take them no problem. It won't be a slap, but it'll be a nice love tap.
Leverkusen.
Their play style is the one that would be difficult, but I still think we could beat them over two legs. You know, they may win a game 1-0, and then we come back and win, you know, 2-1, and then we go to extra time and we, you know, are able to eke it out or win on pens. But I think we could beat them. I think that's the only team. Like, Liverpool and Arsenal really don't scare me. Like, I think that's who we would potentially play in the semifinals, if I'm not mistaken.
It would, that bracket, the big teams are they on Arsenal. The Arsenal, Real, Atleti, Paris.
That's on the opposite
Liverpool.
Side. You're right. Okay.
That's on the opposite side. Yeah.
The only team that would scare me.
Who do you think is who do you think is going to come out of the Benfica, Barcelona, Dortmund, and Lille bracket?
I think Barcelona is going to be Benfica, as
and
much
then
as
it's,
and then
with it's
Lille and Dortmund. To me, that's a coin flip because Dortmund's been very bad this season.
Either way, I think Barcelona comes out of that those four teams, and then it's between us, Feyenoord, Leverkusen, and Bayern.
Yeah.
So if we, yeah, an Inter Barcelona semifinal would be incredible.
That's a team I don't want to lose to. I don't want to lose to them. And not for nothing, they haven't impressed me. I mean, have they impressed you?
They score goals in bunches, but it's also like
but
if
it's
you
also
look
against
at their
like
goal tally,
bottom feeder teams. Like
it's like 8-0 against Alaves, which is not, you know.
Wow. Like I don't think they would even get 8 past Venezia. Well, maybe now that Radu's a starter, but other than that, like if Stankovic is there, you get maybe 2.
So who's the team on our side that worries you the most? I think
probably
it's
Leverkusen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they. I mean, they play a similar system to ours. You know, it's
Xabi Alonso is a fantastic coach. He has his team extremely well organized.
They're fast.
They're like, fast. They know how to. They press fast. You so hard. Like, that's the only thing that would concern me. But
Florian Wirtz is a real.
He's so good.
Serious player.
He's so good. He's like the last of a dying breed. Like, he kind of takes. Sense. He takes the what's it called, the baton from Dybala, and I think he's the last one that'll be able to play that type of role.
Yeah, he's one of the only trequartistas left, but he's a real serious player. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that there's anyone on our bracket that we can match up with and say, oh, this is going to be, the chances of us getting past this team, it's going to be take a monumental effort. I think we have the ability to do it. And then there's some heavy hitters on the other side, but they got to play each other. So we'll see who comes out of it. But I feel good. All right. You got anything else you want to chit-chat about?
No. That's pretty much it.
All right. I'm happy to be back, guys. Really, really missed doing this. Thanks again for everything. And in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.